My guest at this time is Larry Pratt. He is the executive director at Gun Owners of America. We want to get his reaction today to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling on Thursday that Americans do not have a constitutional right to carry concealed firearms in public. And Larry, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me with you. Appreciate it.
Well, let me read a little bit from the Ninth Circuit's decision. It was a full court, 7-4 ruling here. Quote, the protection of the Second Amendment, whatever the scope of that protection may be, simply does not extend to the carrying of concealed firearms in public by members of the general public. It was a 7-4 ruling. What's your reaction to the majority opinion?
Well, I am really delighted to have been enlightened by the majority, because I missed that part in the Second Amendment that says that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Obviously, the copy of the Constitution I have left out that part about unless they're carrying it concealed in public.
So this case emanated from a number of California citizens who were challenging demands from their local sheriff's departments that they have good cause for carrying firearms. That's an argument and a debate that's been playing out in Washington, D.C. and other places around the country as well. So what do you make of those circumstances leading up to this ruling?
The good cause requirement is really the invitation that's been given by lawmakers for a long time to the bureaucrats to be as arbitrary as they wish. So if somebody is applying for a concealed carry permit, if they get a note perhaps in the San Diego office from the sheriff, this guy really was a strong supporter of my campaign, well, he might just get his permit, might even get it fairly expeditiously. But if nothing comes from the sheriff himself in regard to the applicant, well, it probably isn't going to happen. And that's the problem with good cause. Nobody has good cause in the minds of many of these bureaucrats because they just don't like the idea of people carrying guns. Of course, neither did George III.
So here is the quote from the court on that front. Quote, because the Second Amendment does not protect in any degree the right to carry concealed firearms in public, any prohibition or restriction a state may choose to impose on concealed carry, including the requirement of good cause, however defined, is necessary allowed by the amendment, according to the Ninth Circuit. So how do you respond to what would essentially be their rebuttal to what you just said?
They're making up this is something that is not historically the case, and it's certainly not something they can justify. Much as they tried, they cannot justify in law. It is simply an arbitrary opinion of men and women who don't like the idea of average citizens carrying guns for their own protection. And they're quite willing to overlook the law that, or the data that I know were presented, because we had a brief before the court as well, as did many others, but the data clearly show that in jurisdictions where people are able to carry concealed virtually without any limitation, they may have to get a permit, but they get it pretty much routinely, and there are now an increasing number of jurisdictions where a permit is not even needed at all. Those are the low crime areas of our country, and it's the rules and laws like they're trying to uphold in San Diego that have produced such a wonderful low crime area such as Chicago.
Larry, does it bother you at all? You just mentioned that in some states and other local jurisdictions, the debate has moved from concealed carry to open carry, so not even needing permission from any sort of government entity, to now the Ninth Circuit saying you don't have this right at all.
The Ninth Circuit clearly is showing the mentality of a totalitarian mindset, and they were the very kind of people that our forefathers objected to and sent letters of remonstrance to King George saying, you got it wrong, stop doing this. And King George was tone deaf, and we know how that turned out.
Larry, you and I have talked many times after some of the more horrific shootings that have happened in this country, and you have pointed out frequently that almost all of them have happened in what are considered gun-free zones. So if, in fact, this case gets to the point, and the Supreme Court eventually is at the point where it rules that there is no constitutional right to carry a concealed firearm in public, what does that do for public safety in your estimation?
It makes people into criminals, because I'm sure many people are going to carry for their own protection, regardless of what some stupid bunch of judges has said. This is an extremely anti-self-defense court that has ruled. And by the way, I would point out that they all have security. Where they go to work, no problem. They're protected by folks with guns. It's just the rest of us that don't seem to matter. And that really sticks in our craw, too.
Larry, you have written fairly recently that while you were not enamored with Donald Trump during the Republican presidential primary process, now that it's essentially a matchup between him and Hillary Clinton, you are supporting Donald Trump because you believe that he would be better on the issue of the Second Amendment. And a lot of folks on both sides of the aisle are saying that this campaign, regardless of how you see the candidates, will ultimately determine the complexion of the Supreme Court for years, to perhaps decades to come. Now that a case like this is coming up through the ranks, how much more real does that debate become?
Well, that puts the issue very well. The Ninth Circuit's decision underscores how important it's going to be who gets appointed, who gets nominated, and ultimately confirmed to the Supreme Court following the upcoming election. We at least have the hope that Donald Trump might make appointments that are somewhat respectful of the Constitution. If Hillary Clinton is president, we can pretty well guarantee that the jihad against the Constitution will continue and escalate as far as the courts are concerned. So while we're not convinced that Donald Trump is going to be our political savior, nevertheless, he certainly represents a preference that I think most gun owners are going to express.
Last question, and let me blow the dust off a name that nobody's said for a few weeks here, and that's Merrick Garland, the president's current choice to sit on the Supreme Court following the passing of Justice Scalia. At this point, it doesn't look like there's going to be much action on that nomination, but if there is somehow in the coming months, so what can you tell us about his record on the Second Amendment?
Well, Judge Garland was appointed by a president, nominated by a president who is anti-Second Amendment. And I have yet to see the president make a mistake ideologically in terms of any appointment that he has made. He has never appointed anybody that was committed to an historical understanding of the Constitution. And so he didn't make any mistake here, because we've seen from Garland's decisions that he has, for instance, voted to not have a rehearing or have a hearing by the Supreme Court of what became known as the Heller decision, which overturned the D.C. gun ban. In other words, Merrick Garland was perfectly happy with the D.C. gun ban. And that ought to tell us plenty, tells us all we need to know, that this guy is not a friend of the Second Amendment, and no wonder Barack Obama chose to nominate him.
Larry, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg.
Larry Pratt is Executive Director at Gun Owners of America. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.